Welcome into the Towel Boys, the Oh My God, Chris Wood Didn't Get Drafted special Towel Boys. He's Mike Grimala over at runrevs.com. You can follow him at Mike Grimala on Twitter. I'm Tyler Bischoff over here at Mountain West Connection. It's at Bischoff underscore Tyler. Christian Wood does not hear his name called among the 60 names that were called during the NBA draft. Pretty big surprise. UNLV fans, though, or at least some of them, seem to be somewhat delighted.
Which is a strange response. It's a strange reaction.
I have some tweets, and they're pretty tremendous. I'm going to read them. Now, these are not all UNLV fans.
Tweets that are ripping Chris Wood in some capacity or taunting.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Are you going to read the names of the tweeters, or...
I have them. Would you like me to?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to put people on blast like that, although they are putting Chris Wood on blast, I suppose.
If you hear one and you're like, oh, I need to know who that is, I can tell you. But yes, I have a handful of tweets here. They're not all UNLV fans. Most of them somehow were associated with UNLV or Las Vegas, though. So the first one, he should fire his agent. Interviewed poorly, too arrogant, and throwing that draft party was a mistake. Awful guidance. There's number one. The next one is, Google this guy. Sounds like karma. Number three, at ChrisWood_5. Maybe if you had the determination as your rebel teammate Rashad Vaughn, you'd be employed right now. So, at ChrisWood_5, how do you feel being trolled? Being in mock drafts top sleeper, and then you go undrafted. Hashtag karma. At ChrisWood_5, what an idiot that guy is. First he completely goofed how he handled his decision, now that tweet, destined to be a real loser. This was tweeted at quite a few different guys in the Las Vegas media, but they're not important. I can't wait to see the next Chris Wood video he shoots of him making the NBA... D League. And then this was also tweeted at a couple Las Vegas media guys. Knocked, not shocked. Wood's not that good of player. Lazy to me. And then the last one I have for you, at ChrisWood_5. Sounds like when you weren't going to lose anymore, LOL. Can't wait till those Italian League guys feel the wrath of Wood. Those are so glorious. This is why I love Twitter and sports. Like, this is, like, it's sad for Chris Wood, because a lot of these are actually tweeted at him. But it's just hilarious how many people thought, I'm gonna go take a shot at this kid who just didn't get drafted and had his dreams crushed.
I think it's the one of the common threads that I caught in a couple of those tweets that I really didn't sit well with the fans at the time, and it's even worse in retrospect, was the video. When he made his decision to declare for the draft, and he sort of strung people along for a couple of weeks, and he was like teasing a possible return to UNLV, and then he put out a pretty self-congratulatory video about, you know, his dream was making it to the NBA and this and that, and a lot of people didn't appreciate that, I guess. He got some criticism for it, but it feels like a lot of people held back until now that he's gone undrafted. They feel like now they can unload on him for doing that.
Now they are justified.
Yes, they're vindicated. They can have the last word for now and really get it off their chest. You know, everything that they felt after they went through his whole declaring or returning saga.
What's strange is that Chris Wood went to UNLV, and so... I would guess the majority of UNLV fans would have liked for him to be drafted in the first round so that they can promote that about their school. I searched Chris Wood on Twitter. The majority of things, there's a soccer player in England with the name Chris Wood as well. So actually the majority of tweets were about him, but the majority of tweets not about soccer, were negative towards Chris Wood, but that doesn't mean there weren't some positive ones. And I imagine the majority of UNLV fans not tweeting at Chris Wood are disappointed for him and are sad, and maybe not as sad as Chris Wood was in that RJ photo with him like hands in his head at his draft party. But the people tweeting about him, it's like he played for UNLV. You would think everybody would want him to get drafted so that they can say, oh, look what we did. Come to UNLV. You can go to the NBA draft and find your way under an NBA team. But it's like he was wanting to was deciding whether he was going to stay or go. And UNLV fans wanted him to stay. And then Steven Zimmerman committed, and it was, oh, my God, if Chris Wood comes back, we're going to be a super team. We're going to have the best front court in college basketball history. Oh, my God, Chris Wood stay. And he did. He kind of teased that, and I don't have a problem with that. It's him having fun. And then he decides to announce that he's going to go into the NBA draft. And people were mad at him for that. And it's funny because fans went from, please stay, Chris Wood, look how great UNLV can be, to, oh, he's lazy and he doesn't try hard and
I think we
don't want you back anyway, even though they were just trying to get him back.
I think almost all of that sentiment, the negative sentiment that he got for declaring, can be traced back to the way that he handled this announcement and, you know, with the teasing and the video. Because, I mean, Rashad Vaughn declared, and he did it very matter-of-factly. I think a lot of people saw that coming as well. Like, I don't think anyone really expected him to be here for 2 years anyways. But Rashad Vaughn got basically no negative feedback. No one was busting on Rashad Vaughn for leaving early. And he seemed his draft stock was just as tenuous, even more so than Chris Wood at the time, because his season was ended by an injury. He looked a little bit sluggish at times during the year. There were negative scouting reports about his defense. So it's not like Rashad Vaughn was a lock for the first round when he declared, but we didn't see any UNLV fans getting on him for that decision. I think it pretty much can all be traced back to how Wood sort of handled his decision. I think that's pretty much what it's all wrapped up in.
And we talked about this a lot when he actually made the decision with the video, but I didn't care how, like, it didn't bother me one bit how he handled it. Like, I guess, you know, there were reports that he might have told staff, maybe even Dave Rice, that he was coming back, which might be a little bit of a douchey thing to do, but that doesn't have a whole lot to do with the fans themselves. So it's like fans got their hopes too high for really nothing, and Chris Wood kind of played into that a little bit and then said, hey, I'm leaving. And I mean, I know, like, UNLV fans, and it's like you want everything to be perfect, and I get why you would be upset about that, but it's just so crazy to me that people can go from, you should come back and help us be awesome, to you're no good and you're lazy, and now with him not being drafted, they think they have that justification. But for, like, one guy said he's destined to be a real loser. Another guy said, can't wait till those Italian leagues feel the wrath of Wood. Do people not understand that Chris Wood can go over to Europe and make more money next year playing basketball than, like, you and I have ever made in our lives?
It's not the worst life.
No joke, he can probably go to Spain or France or Germany or Turkey and make $300,000, $400,000 next year. Like, that's, like, it, listen, if my dream didn't quite work out and the backup plan was go live in Europe and make six figures, I'm kind of okay with that. Like, that's, like if you told me, hey, you can go play basketball in Europe right now for $300,000, of course I would do that. If somebody told me right now, hey, I can go cover basketball in Europe for, like, $60,000, I would absolutely do it. I just don't understand. Like,
just,
people
it's,
don't...
It's not... in looking at it through a very, like, wide lens from with a ton of perspective, it's not the worst thing in the world. But it's, for Chris Wood, it has to feel like a very personal failing. Like, he was very obviously he wanted to be drafted. He talked about, even in his video, like, how the NBA is a dream for him. And, you know, even there, you could just tell, you know, he threw the draft party. He had very big expectations, and you could see, obviously, from the photo, just looking distraught. And then from his tweeting throughout the night, you could just sort of see where, you know, the spiral. So it's just, in the long run, it's not so bad, but for him right now, I'm sure he's not seeing it that way. I'm sure he's seeing it as he failed in some way. And it was very public, very everyone sort of watched it happen, which does not feel good.
Emmanuel Mudiay went as a high schooler, after he's done with high school, instead of going to college, went to China and made $1.4 million last
year.
That's
Rashad Vaughn money.
That's exactly what Rashad Vaughn is going to get paid as the 17th pick. Like, and I'm a little bit more familiar with European leagues, not so much with Asian leagues, but like Stephon Marbury's over there making a lot of money and winning. I think he won like 4 straight titles or something in whatever Chinese league he's in. But it's like people don't understand that him failing means that he has the option to go make 6 figures playing in a different country. And I understand it's not playing in America and it's not the NBA, so you're not going to be famous because basketball's not huge over there. It's different countries. It's bigger because obviously it's big enough that they can pay guys 6 figures pretty consistently. You might be in a country that speaks a different language, and there are lots of leagues and countries that you have to be careful about because they might go under or might not pay you or something. But if you go to Spain, if you go to France, if you talk to people that have done it before, like it'd be pretty easy to navigate. But it's just crazy to me that people are so happy that he didn't get drafted and don't understand that he's going to make more money next year regardless than any of these people are making right now.
Do you think if Chris Wood, knowing all that, do you think that if he could go back to 3 months ago after the season ended, do you think he would make the same decision to leave UNLV with 2 years of eligibility left?
I think he'd come back. Like, I think if you told him you're not going to be drafted and you're going to have to fight your way through summer league and training camp and just get on an NBA roster, and then you might be in the D League or you might have to go overseas, I think he'd come back.
I do too.
I wouldn't. I would be just fine with going overseas and playing for 6 figures, but I think he would come back.
I know there are some people who are saying, you know, if he had come back, you know, he could have improved his draft stock.
No, he couldn't.
No, it's not even about that. It's like, at some point, staying in college starts to actually hurt you from a scouting perspective, because once you hit your junior year and your senior year, you kind of get that perception of what is he still doing there. If he was really good, he would have, you know, come out already. And it's clear. It's not like it's not like he went undrafted in the first round. He wasn't taken at all. So it would have been quite a big leap to raise his stock from undrafted to somewhere in the first round just by coming back for his junior year. So it's not even about that. It's just that it's he had to sit there through the entire draft, you know, at a draft. I mean, he didn't have to have the party, but, you know, he's at his draft party. He's got a suit on. It's a big deal. And like, everyone is just sort of watching it happen. And that's just an awful thing. I think he would probably choose not to go through that if he could have, if the alternative was to come back for another year, maybe prove that he is a hard worker, or that he can be a hard worker or a high effort guy, and maybe eke out something a little bit better than going undrafted.
Well, that's the part that, like, him coming back, I don't think it would have done anything. I mean, he averaged 15, 10, and 2.5.
Yeah, in terms of production and what he can do on the court, he wasn't going to help himself. Everyone already knows what he can do. There's enough tape on him. Like, scouts know him. They know how tall he is. They know how athletic he is. They know that he produced in college. Like, he can clean up with some, like, footwork or, like, post moves or whatever, but not enough to jump from, you know, into the first round from undrafted.
Yeah, his problem seems to be work ethic. And honestly, like, he needs some sort of kick in the ass, some sort of wake-up call. And he wasn't going to get that at UNLV. I mean, because if he comes back to UNLV, even though you and I have both seen Dave Rice scream at him because a walk-on got a rebound over him, he's the star. I mean, he was the star of the team. He was essentially catered to in most senses. And had he come back, it would have been, oh my God, we're going to be the super team. And he wouldn't have gotten any sort of jolt to, hey, I need to work harder. And so coming back, people are saying, oh, he should have come back for a year and then he could have been taken in the first round. No, he wouldn't have. Like, he needs, it's not about what he does as a basketball player. It's about who he is as a worker, in a sense. And his game's not going to get much better. I mean, if you think about it, how many upperclassmen How many upperclassmen like improve their draft stock and get taken high? Like Frank Kaminsky did. But Frank Kaminsky was the most efficient player in the country last season for a team that went to the Final Four. So unless Chris Wood was going to be the most efficient player in the country for a Final Four team, he wasn't going to all of a sudden improve his draft stock to being a lottery guy. Like, it just wasn't going to happen
with him
coming back.
Everything that you're reading in the aftermath is just on court, really had nothing to do with it. It's just, I saw Chad Ford say that. It was his interviews, just his interviews with teams. I think the phrase he used was it just turned teams off. They were just turned off after interviewing with him and meeting him and his workouts and just the work ethic questions. Like that stuff is what really dogged him, and that's what caused him to drop. Like I think we said in the last podcast, he's a guy that it's going to take a lot of work for him to become a viable NBA player, and teams just didn't trust that he would put in that work.
He was one of the 60 best guys available for this draft, though. Like, that's not a question. It's the strategy that teams employed in the second round, where they take guys from other countries that aren't coming to play here right away, or if at all, because they don't want to have to pay them right away anyway. So it's not that Chris Wood wasn't one of the 60 best players that was eligible for this draft. I mean, how I think Fran Fraschillo referred to it as a warm body section of the draft at one point. Like, Chris Wood is still good at basketball. Does him not getting drafted change anything you thought about how good he was at the sport?
No.
Yeah, like, it's not about how good he is. It's you know, I think it can say stuff to about his work ethic and about, you know, just the way he is as a person off the court, and the fact that teams didn't want to take a chance on a 6'10 kid that could potentially shoot and has a lot of athleticism, but the way he plays basketball didn't change at all. Like, he's still better than most of those guys taken in the second round, if not all of them.
The thing that you could question, if you wanted to be cynical about it, is his decision making in terms of who was, from the time he declared to the draft, like who was coaching him, like who was helping him get prepare for his interviews, who was helping him prepare for his workouts. For lack of a better term, I mean, if your entire future is riding on this draft, you've got to be able to fake it for 2 months and show team, like present yourself in a way in these interviews that don't turn teams off, and work hard in your individual workouts and give effort and make them believe that you can do it. Like, but I don't know how the reports from team after team come back the same way, where he was just having bad interview after bad interview. I don't know if he had anyone that he could lean on or someone to step in and sort of help guide him through that process. I don't know what happened there. But from a more cynical perspective, you should be able to fake it for a couple months and not let yourself fall from the first round to completely undrafted.
I think if he came back, the only thing he could really improve that would help him would be strength, but I still don't even think that would happen. Like, I don't think he would get in the weight room and work hard, because he wouldn't have really – he didn't need to put on strength to be good in the Mountain West. No. So
he had 2 months to prepare for the NBA, for the scouting combine, and he did nothing.
Yeah, so I don't think coming back would have changed anything at all. He tweeted something well after the draft, and I believe he deleted it, but basically he just said he was going to stay humble and prove every motherfucker wrong. You have any problem with that tweet?
No, I retweeted it. I retweeted a couple of his tweets. I think it's just if he can use it to sort of light a fire under himself, then that's something that he's needed. No, it definitely wasn't the worst tweet by a drafted player on draft night.
Well, on draft night or before draft night?
It wasn't the worst tweet that I saw on draft night from a first-round player. From a Mountain West forward.
Can you believe Larry Nance went in the first round?
I was surprised.
Oh, Laker fans lost it, or they either lost it or they didn't know who the hell they just picked.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bet against him. It's like turning into, I don't know, a guy who plays in the NBA at some point. But I mean, him being drafted ahead of Chris Wood just sort of shows you what the NBA values in that process. Like, he's a guy, he's not as tall as Wood. He's not as athletic. He doesn't have the upside of Wood, but he's going to outwork Wood at every opportunity.
But that doesn't matter because Dellavedova didn't win the finals, and he was the hardest working player in that series. And you got to be talented. Like Draymond Green was awful for the majority of that series, but he was useful because he's pretty talented and pretty athletic, and you know, was more talented and athletic than a lot of the guys the Cavs are throwing out there. So that's I guess it might be what teams value, but it's kind of stupid because you got to have talented guys. You can't just have six Dellavedovas and expect to win because they're not good and they just try hard. Okay, Rashad Vaughn. 17 was the highest I saw him in a mock draft to Milwaukee, and he goes at 17. I was surprised, not as much as Chris Wood not getting drafted, but I was quite surprised he went that early.
That was right around when I started to pay attention, when I got on Vaughn alert, like the pick before that, the 16, I believe, was the Celtics. And then that, like right in that range, I started thinking to myself, all right, time to get ready to write up a quick Vaughn story whenever he gets drafted, because it seemed like I thought he might go in the somewhere in that frame. So, I mean, it wasn't hugely surprising, but that's about as good as he could have expected.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, the rookie scale, he'll have a guaranteed $1.4 million next year, and then that'll go up to like 1.51 and then 1.56 or something like that in years two and three. I don't know exactly what happens in year four, but I'm pretty sure he'll sign a four-year contract because they all sign four-year contracts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly. But basically, he's going to be making $1.5 million over the next 3 years, guaranteed. People who had said Rashad Vaughn made a terrible decision at the time, clearly that was not a terrible decision by Rashad Vaughn, who is going to be in Milwaukee and be just fine financially for at least 3 years.
And no one is ever going to question Rashad Vaughn's like work ethic. Like, that was the one thing that I think you never had to worry about with Vaughn. Like, I think that teams, they get it once they get a sense of that, there you don't really have any questions about drafting him from that regard, as long as he's healthy and he gets, you know, and he goes into a good situation, you pretty much assume that he's going to reach his potential. Like, his potential may not be super high. He may not have the potential to be like a superstar, but whatever his potential is talent-wise, he's going to reach it because he'll put in the work.
I would really like to ask Rashad what he thought of Chris during when they had workouts for teams together. I'm just curious as to what he thought. And I also wonder if because I think they worked out for five or six teams together.
Yeah.
I wonder if teams thought more of Rashad Vaughn based on Chris Wood working out with him.
Just from the contrast that it provided.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to Milwaukee. I believe they took a shooting guard in the second round too. So I think they have two shooting guards. And I know it was Sam Vecenie, who's with CBS Sports, tweeted that he thinks the guy they took in the second round is going to be playing minutes in the NBA before Rashad Vaughn. How much of a project do you think Rashad Vaughn is? Like, do you think he is going to play meaningful minutes at all next year? Or do you think it's like, okay, he might get sent to the D League, maybe just get some spot minutes here and there next year?
I don't think he's a D League guy. Not as a mid first round pick. I think he's a guy who he's got a skill. He's got an NBA skill, which is his outside shooting. So I think, assuming everything goes well health-wise and he gets an opportunity, I think he can give you something to help your team right away. He can play minutes as a shooter. He may not be playing 20 minutes a night. He may not play 15 minutes a night, but he can slide in there and give you spot minutes as a shooter, which I think means he'll get on the court this year. So I don't, in terms of being a full-time player and turning into like a starting caliber player, may take a couple years, but I think now he can help you as a shooter.
With Giannis on that team, they were really good defensively. I'm pretty sure that their defensive efficiency was one of the top in the league. Rashad's not known for his defense. Do you think he's got the potential that in a more defensive-minded system with, I don't know if Jason Kidd's known as being able to teach defense, but with a coaching staff that apparently can put together a pretty good defense, do you think he'll be able to become like a plus defender? Like, maybe not unbelievable, but a Net positive on the defensive end?
I don't know about a plus defender, but don't you usually find that good coaches, when you get as long as you're willing to put in an effort on defense, good coaches can usually get you to play like manageable defense, right?
I think it has to do a lot with scheme.
Yeah, like even Steph Curry, they found a way to make him not a liability, and he was just a horrid defender. He was terrible, and they made no. I'm not slighting him. I'm just saying he's not a good defender, but they won a championship because they had schemes. They had guys that could help him out in this in certain ways, and they had a scheme that sort of protected him in other ways. And he's all of a sudden he's an average defender, and he's a guy that is not a weakness. So as long as you're willing to put in the work, which I'm one thing I'm certain of is that Vaughn will put in the work. As long as he's willing to do that, and he's got a good coach and like a good cohesive scheme that makes sense for him, I eventually would imagine that he'll become a passable defender.
Yeah, I think with Milwaukee, and I think it's much more about scheme than maybe not much more, but if you've got a guy who's below average, he can be a quality defender if you have a good scheme. And as you're mentioning, hiding Steph Curry. But I think in Milwaukee, and I don't know exactly what their defensive scheme is. I probably watched 2 Milwaukee Buck games all year. But I imagine that he'll be fine on the defensive end. I imagine that he won't be a liability. But there are teams, you know, I think Tom Thibodeau and Frank Vogel have done it where they've got a guy who can shoot or can score at an NBA level, but they just don't get him on the court because the guy doesn't play defense as well as they would like. So there is that potential there that if he isn't a good enough defender, that if he's in a defensive scheme with a coach that loves defense, he might not see the floor, you know, as much as he should for his offensive abilities if his defense is holding him back, or at least in the coach's mind, holding him back.
Yeah, no, I could see that. There are definitely guys who are harder on rookies and inexperienced players, and there are other coaches who are willing to, you know, let you learn on the fly. Some guys aren't willing to do that. I don't know enough about Jason Kidd and his coaching style to really speak to that. But I don't know. You saw Rashad Vaughn when we would go in to practice to interview, you know, before practice to do, you know, media interviews, and Vaughn would be out there. Usually the only guy out there, you know, shooting and doing agility and doing conditioning, you know, by himself with his own personal coach, like an hour before practice. So, I mean, do you think that he can play defense at a passable level eventually? I mean, do you question that he'll eventually get there?
No, I think he'll get there. And I think in Milwaukee, he could get there rather quickly. Feet-wise, like, I don't think he's got super slow feet. He doesn't have great feet, but he doesn't have super slow feet. I don't think he's got quick. He's just kind of average in terms of foot speed and hand speed, and because of that, I think he can be fine. Like,
yeah. He doesn't have a great, like, wingspan. I think he's 6'5", and his wingspan is 6'7". So he's not, like, freakishly long. He's not super quick. So, like, he doesn't have a ton of, like, natural tools, but I think he'll figure out something.
Yeah, I think he doesn't have the tools to be a great defender, but I think he's got plenty of tools to be a just fine defender, and especially if he's on a defensive team. Like, I am confident he'll be just fine defensively. It might take 2 years. Like, he might not be playing meaningful minutes because of his defense for 2 years. Like, that could very easily happen, but I think he'll get there eventually. But Rashad Vaughn goes 17, Chris Wood goes undrafted. Big surprise there, at least with Chris Wood. This is just a short special edition to yell about Christian Wood. We'll probably have another podcast up in the next few days talking schedule, and I want to talk about Dwayne Morgan because he might be an idiot. But look for that in the coming days. But for Mike Grimala, check him out at runrevs.com. I'm Tyler Bischoff. Thanks for tuning in to the Towel Boys.